Hello, thank you for listening to The Joy of Yes with me, Graham Pate, and my guest, Paul Blinov.
And I remember a game that you did with Tim and, was it Julia?
Mm-hmm.
When you were doing a special workshop show.
Yeah.
And you decided you were all going to speak one word at a time?
Yeah, teach the workshop one word at a time. And I want to stress that Tim was adamant that we not discuss what the workshop was about. Like, it wasn't like we had a lesson plan we were following. We had to make up the class one word at a time. It was, I will say, that was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. And, you know, it was a pay what you can scenario. I want to stress we weren't trying to fleece people of their money.
It was a free one.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And it was like, you know, I think everyone who came, almost everyone who came, knew what they were getting into. And even before we started, Tim went into the room because he also didn't want us just milling about. He went and checked that everyone sort of knew that this wasn't a normal workshop.
It was incredibly funny. But if I remember correctly, it was funny. But I think if I remember correctly, the three of you were trying to explain a game and one of you didn't know the game.
Yeah, I was the one who didn't know it. And so I was just like, I can't. Like, whenever it came to me, I would just say something that then, like, Julia and Tim would look at me like, what are you trying to, like, you know, make this go wrong? And it was like, no, but I can't. I don't know how to explain this. I'm sorry.
I don't think I'll ever forget that class because it was just so funny because it was clear at one point that you didn't know the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made it fun. Like, how long can this go on for?
It was a fun, for me, it was a lot of like learning to sit in failure. Like, we talk about happy failure and joyful failure and things like that in improv. And really just like, we're teaching this class. We have to keep going. We can't stop and talk about it or break it down. Like, yeah, this 5-minute segment where we're trying to explain a game that I don't know. It's just, that is what it is. And we have to push through that somehow. Oh. And it took 5 minutes or however long it took. It felt, you know, like 5 minutes of looping back and trying to get through this one detail. And then we finally found a way around it. I think we just found a different game because they finally took pity on me. But it was a lot of sitting in failure and then being like, okay, great.
It was a joy.
It was a
privilege to be part of that class because it was so zany.
Yeah, it was a lot.
It was a lot of fun.
And then a fun tidbit for me was that it was up to 2 hours, but we'd sort of talked about like one of the things we had talked about in the other room was like, all right, if it gets to about 90 minutes and we see an ending, that's probably enough. We've probably done this bit for long enough. And it got there and I saw an ending. And we actually, like, it got to a part where I was like, this is the end. And then Tim was the next, and he was just like, no! He full on, like, changed his mind and wanted to do the full 2 hours. And so we did. We did one more thing.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I was very present the whole time. I can definitely say at no part could I check out or, like, be, like, thinking of what to do next. I had to be with these other two people. And that was it was fun.
I don't think I've ever laughed so hard because it was fun. It was a fun class and it was a funny class.
Right. And that was it. It was hard to tell from the outside because we were, I guess I can't speak for Tim or Julia, but I was focusing so hard on trying to do it that I really had no idea how any of it was landing. If it was like, I know there was like, there were laughs and there were things, but I was still just like, is this anything? Like, I wish we'd taped it. I wish we'd filmed it just so we could watch it and be like, what was that?
It was funny.
Yeah.
I mean, this podcast that I'm doing is called The Joy of Yes. It's all about the joy. And but I said to one of the other people I'd been interviewing, you know, The Joy of Yes, although the focus is on improv, it doesn't necessarily have to be improv. And we find joy in saying yes to lots of different things.
Yeah.
Whether it be, okay, the focus is mostly on improv, but it could be, I mean, for me, now I'm getting into musical improv.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
The joy of being able to be on stage and say yes musically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think like ultimately we're all just chasing joy in our own ways, in our own lives, and this is one way. Yeah,
that poor joy is getting chased by everyone.
So we should really give joy a
break.
A break. But you know.
Badoom. You've been doing this since 2004, 2003.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've seen a big progress in what you're capable of doing and your understanding of improv, mm-hmm. and you've seen a lot of changes, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Where do you see yourself in, say, another 5 years?
That's a great question. I don't know. Will I still do this? Maybe. There are people who, you know, are still doing improv into different years of their life. In Europe, it seems much more common that people are improvising in 50s and 60s and all of that, you know, in their lives. And it's not a form with any sort of age limit on it. People often learn it young and find it young. And so it tends to be populated often by people sort of in their early 20s to mid 20s. But I guess I'll keep doing it as long as it still brings me joy, as long as I still find that surprise within it. I feel like if it was sort of old hat at this point and it was like, yes, theater sports, I'll play my four games and get out of here. The four games I always play because I can do them well or whatever. I don't think I'd still want to be doing that. So as long as I keep, I guess, finding that surprise and finding inspiration in the people who are coming into the company and people who are around the company and all of that, I'll find that interesting and still something to connect with. I guess as with almost anything, you can only really hope you left it better than you found it. So I feel like hopefully in the roles I am in this company, I will do those things. I will make those spaces better from learning from those. It's fun. I find a lot of inspiration still doing it, just in watching even just people grow and become, you know, what I like to think of as better versions of themselves, you know, mm-hmm. and the confidence and the abilities they get doing this, which is really nice.
And I feel that you've certainly had an impact on me as an improviser. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure whether that's a compliment or not, depending on how well you think we'll see. I find you very inspirational. I don't say that just to be, you know, flippant about it, but yeah.
Thank you.
I do. And I've always enjoyed your, as we talked about earlier on, your sense of observational humor, which cracks me up every time.
Great.
I love it.
The dream.
It is the dream.
It works. Sometimes it works.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to just end by saying thank you.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's been so much fun, and I've learned a lot about you and about improv.
Great.
And thank you for taking part in my little games and chatting away with me.
After I was like, restriction games are the worst.
Yeah, I was like, oh no.
Restriction games. No, it was great. It was fun.
Well, thank you very much, Paul. I really appreciate you coming in. And I'm sure I'll be seeing you very soon at Rapid Fire.
See you soon.
Thank you for listening to The Joy of Yes with me, Graham Pate, and my very special guest, Paul Blinoff.